Welcome back to the third season of Gold Diggers. This is the podcast created by 25 unsuspecting psychology students at the University of Georgia, led by our frenetic professor, Dr. Michelle Van Dellen, who's an expert in the field of social psychology. We're going to be mining the research of goal pursuit and self-regulation to bring you everyday stories with a scientific twist. Follow us on this journey as we unearth the grit and determination of the ordinary individual who digs deep to achieve something special. We know as much as you do about where this is going.
Goals!
This is it. The flag was waved and you're off. You peel off down your small town community street that they blocked off for this race. Your homemade race car is dingy and made from recyclable materials. The bad guys are squirting silly string out of their demon race car, throwing other competitors out of the race. You are flipping adults coming out of the supermarket with the speed and tenacity of your little race car. The guy with your girl is rich and has had his daddy put atomic turbines on his quote-unquote homemade race car. But you don't worry. Your laundry spin cycle insert will get you neck to neck with him. But now he's using knives to try to pop your tires. The bad guys throw a smoke stick on your car and it seems like everything is lost. But wait! Now it's toe-to-toe. Neck-to-neck, wheel-to-wheel, and you win! By a hair! No, I mean an actual hair. Because it's your hair. You are Alfalfa and the Little Rascals. Not only did you win the race and the girl, you also advanced women's rights by hanging a woman welcome sign on your clubhouse front door.
Competition. They say to look in the mirror and that's the person you should be competing with. While the sentiment is good-natured, sometimes a good old-fashioned winner versus loser match can get the blood pumping. People can be intrinsically and extrinsically motivated by competing against each other. Winning a trophy and aiming to beat your personal best time is that perfect combination.
Well, today, we're going to be telling the story of how our professor, Dr. Michelle Van Dellen, got wrapped up in a bloodthirsty, knife-throwing, rock-smashing, adrenaline-flowing, lion-roaring... Okay. Maybe not this dramatic. Competition against Rebecca. Specifically, a 30-day step-off challenge with a group of Facebook friends. The prize? $100 for the person who could reach the most steps by the end of the month. Hold on to your hats, or socks, or armpits, and get ready to hear how by the end of the month, they had each reached a total of 1 million steps. Woo! My name is Neseaba.
And I'm Idan.
And we're going to be sharing this wacky, almost too good to be true, story with you. Let's meet Rebecca.
So my name's Rebecca Espana. I'm currently kind of a stay-at-home mom slash preschool teacher at a little preschool. I have three kids. And I'm kind of really excited about being interviewed by this about this topic because it's just something that really actually played a pretty big, you know, role in my life and what I'm doing right now with it, so.
And we're excited to have received it. Let's find out more about how Rebecca and Michelle were able to accomplish such an impressive feat in only a month.
Have you ever accomplished a goal similar to this challenge before?
No.
That's fair. Yeah.
Not before this challenge, definitely no. I had never really pushed myself this hard.
And how did you incorporate the step-off challenge into your everyday life?
Well, in the beginning, it wasn't so hard. I just made sure I got up and went for like 30 minutes to an hour walk. And I could sometimes push like my youngest child in the stroller and my oldest kid would ride her scooter along with us. And that wasn't a big deal. But as it progressed, it kind of started to just get insane where I would wake up at 6 in the morning or 5 in the morning and walk or run for an hour before my children got up. And then, like, any spare moment I had was involved walking or running. Yeah. And it just got more and more challenging to the point where I was only getting like 5 to 6 hours of sleep a day. Ooh. Because I was just making myself get up or staying up late to meet my step goal for the day.
5 or 6 hours of sleep a day? I would have definitely passed out. That is a lot of perseverance.
We know from Rebecca's experience that competitiveness can push you farther than you ever thought possible. Having someone like Michelle, who is also super competitive, to push Rebecca past her own limits and vice versa, allowed these women to accomplish something incredible, reaching 1 million steps in a month, and in some cases, upwards of 100,000 steps in a day. In any great film, there is always a hero and their arch nemesis. Batman and the Joker, Perry the Platypus, and Heinz Doofenshmirtz, to name a couple. And it always seems as if the nemesis is motivating the hero to do good. Does the same thing work in real life?
According to some research, yes, this works. Having a rival increases competition and motivation. Individuals with rivals are motivated to improve their performance by engaging in goal-congruent behaviors that consistently outdo their rival in order to win the competition.
And was your ultimate goal to reach a certain amount of steps or to beat Michelle?
My ultimate goal was to beat Michelle. Yeah. My ultimate goal was to be the winner. I wanted to win. And so I think it was a 2-day step off. So the first day, I just got up and I had made plans. I think I hired a babysitter maybe. I don't remember. but I made it so my whole day was devoted to doing the step challenge and running or walking and getting in a lot of steps.
So Rebecca found a rival in Michelle. Like any competitor would do, Rebecca engaged in goal-congruent behavior, like hiring the babysitter to devote all her time to getting as many steps in. She even went to great lengths to come up with a mathematical formula.
So I counted how many steps it would take to go one, you know, circle around my house. And then I would multiply that. Anyway, I can't remember the exact formula. I tried to find it because I had it written down somewhere. But I made a formula basically like, if I want to take this many steps a day, I have to go around the circle this many times. And so I would just figure out, how many times you need to go around the circle. And then, all right. And then I'd count it as I went around and like clap. I probably sounded like an idiot, but it motivated me to keep going around the circle. I'm like, all right, only 60 more times. So that was one of the things.
It's pretty incredible how Rebecca was able to pull all this off. Without Michelle, Rebecca probably wouldn't have gone the extra mile to push herself to achieve such a physical feat.
Okay, so we know that rivals help fuel us to achieve our goals through motivation. How do we establish our rivals in the first place?
A good old-fashioned recipe for rivalry calls for a history of competition, a high level of similarity, and an evenly matched competitiveness.
And I'm not as competitive as I was in my childhood when I played competitive sports, but I still, something about this challenge just really stoked that competitiveness, and I just really went for it. And I just didn't realize I'd be matched with somebody who was as competitive and as stubborn as myself.
Yeah.
So.
Rebecca didn't know what she was in for until she found a rival in Michelle. Both as stubborn, competitive, and capable of taking a ridiculous number of steps each day, Rebecca and Michelle became each other's arch nemesis, or rivals.
Once you have your opponent, rivalries can affect an individual's goal pursuit and their specific strategies. Reminding an individual of their rivalry can actually trigger a set of self-regulatory behaviors to maintain that goal pursuit.
So we had an app called Inkin that you could download and see what everybody else was doing, how many steps they had done for the day. So I would just periodically through the day check and see where everyone else was and then set like a goal to outstep them. Like, oh, if they've done this many steps, I'm going to think about how many steps they'll do in this certain period of time and then I'll do twice as many as that. Right. And so that's really just, I would just use this app to kind of spy on people and then get ahead of them.
This is what competitors do. they take the measures to outdo each other. Rebecca utilized the technology around her to keep an eye on Michelle's progress and to fuel her own, effectively outmaneuvering her every time. That is, until Michelle pushed back and cut off all her progress from Rebecca.
Yes, which I think is what Michelle did. So, and then she just, I'm probably getting ahead of myself, but she eventually hid herself on there for me, so I couldn't see how many steps she was doing.
Yeah.
So she could have a little bit of an advantage. So, but that, we eventually undid that.
Let's talk about outmaneuvering real quick. How else can we do this? Many of us have been in situations where competitiveness has either helped or hurt us. In Rebecca and Michelle's case, this competitiveness led to a series of behaviors meant to sabotage their opponent.
I enjoy figuring out problems like that, so I would say, like, I was like, all right, let's look and see what, you know, how many I have to do today or what I have to do today to beat Michelle's goal, because this is what I think she'll do. I also like thinking about trying to outmaneuver. I enjoyed that part of it, like trying to outmaneuver somebody and like think about what they were trying to do.
In these cases, the focus can switch from attaining the goal to pulling another person away from their goal. Both Rebecca and Michelle found themselves changing what they did in order to beat the other person without them knowing.
Michelle's maneuvers worked a bit because they changed the goals Rebecca would set for herself. She thinks she was making more progress than Michelle and stopped shooting quite so high. This phenomenon is called premature goal release, and it can lead you to think, hey, it's better than doing nothing. Rebecca was still working towards her goal, but not as intensely as she had before. On the final days of their challenge is when this really caught up to Rebecca.
I think my goal for that day was to get, I was like, I'm going to get 100,000 steps. But then as I was checking that app to see where Michelle was, I'm like, oh, she's so far behind. I don't need to do, I'm, you know, I got complacent. And so I was like, I don't need to do 100,000. I'll just stop at 90.
That extra 10,000.
That extra 10,000, you know. And so I stopped there and I went to bed feeling super confident because I was so far ahead. And so I was like, you know what? I deserve an extra 30 minutes to an hour of sleep. So I won't get up at 4:30 like I was planning to. I'll just get up at 5:30 and start walking. And I could tell as the day progressed, I was like, that was a mistake. I've messed up because I had to go to work that day. Mm-hmm. And so that took out a large chunk of my walking time.
In all honesty, that is a horrible feeling. To think that you're making progress or even ahead of the game, but coming to realize that you're actually way behind? Yeah, not fun. Rebecca fell for progress bias, and to account for it, she had to squeeze the steps into her busy day, resorting to those circles in her living room.
Now that we know how competition can affect one's behaviors and their ability to achieve their goals, we should discuss the motivation behind them. We started off this episode talking about how competition can involve both intrinsic and extrinsic motivators. Normally, people get into exercising for reasons outside of themselves, like money or getting into shape.
So I belong to an internet group called the Mediocre Ladies of Athens, and one of the ladies in it decided, hey, for the new year, we should do a step challenge, you know, and we should all throw in some money and make it a little interesting. And so I think everybody threw in $10, and it started in mid-January, and it was for 30 days. And so I joined it thinking, like, I'll maybe, you know, hit my step goal of, like, 10,000 steps a day. If I do this, you know, it'll just be something good to do because I'd been slacking about health goals for a while. So that's really how I heard about it and how I got involved.
As we can see, Rebecca entered the competition mainly to get back into exercising. Sure, there was money involved, but it was more of an additional bonus. When people are extrinsically motivated to exercise initially, they are more likely to internalize these motives. Rebecca's motivation shifted with time. While she was initially motivated to challenge herself, she gradually became motivated to win. This internalized process actually motivates you to keep on exercising in the future.
And there's also social comparison. We are driven to compete when we compare ourselves to others, especially in competition.
So I was like, let's do it. I can do it, you know. And so I ran for like 5 hours, just like slow jogging. It wasn't intense running, but that was really, and I hadn't run since high school.
Wow.
So this, yeah, as this challenge, I was like, the only way I'm going to beat her is if I can start doing, if I start running again. So I started running again during this challenge because there was no way to keep up with her. Because she, she hikes and runs, and wasn't doing any of those kind of things. Like, I was just real big couch potato and trying to move on from that, you know.
By comparing herself to Michelle, Rebecca really pushed herself. We touched on this a little bit in our last episode, but we engage in both positive and negative comparison when assessing our own level of progress. We get the sense that Rebecca is slightly discouraged by Michelle's accomplishments, but we also see that she looks up to her to motivate herself to win this challenge.
And it's not just the step challenge. Rebecca frequently engages in social comparison to motivate herself with other health goals as well.
Yeah, I feel that when I go to the gym and I like see people running a certain speed, like I'll push it like 0.1 just to like be like, oh, I'm going faster than people around me. It's just that crazy competitive nature. That
it's
like
a comparison thing.
Yes, yeah, it totally is.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, when I was doing the half marathon and I would eventually have to like walk for a little bit, I'd see these like little ladies power walking and pass mm-hmm. me, and I'd be like, "Oh no, I gotta run." Or if I saw some like a group of people coming, I'm like, "All right, start running again." Like, right. 'Cause I just didn't want to, you know. It was a weird, like, I'm like, I feel embarrassed that I'm not running right now. So, but it was super humbling when those little old ladies, the first time I did it, were just like power walking past me. Like, they were probably in their 60s and 70s, and I was just like,
"I love that."
Here, we see Rebecca engaging in positive upward social comparison. She looks up to the people who are performing better than her as an inspiration to match their level, like she did with the little old ladies. She's mentally telling herself, if they can do it, so can I. But like she mentioned, she also improves her performance simply as a result of a little self-consciousness. Even then, it is positive upward comparison, because we can look up to others to replace that discomfort with pride.
Just as people are motivated to pursue a goal through social comparison, we are also driven by the magnitude of the goal itself. We break up our more daunting, large primary goals into less intimidating, smaller sub-goals. Why? Because it helps us feel like we're making more progress. And in the case when we fail, smaller failures are much easier to withstand than bigger ones.
What advice would you give to someone who's trying to achieve a goal that seems impossible? Because like you said, you didn't think you'd reach 1 million steps or do 100,000 steps in a day at the very beginning.
Yeah, I would just say, I think if you're working towards a bigger goal, it's just take it in small steps. You know, say your goal is to reach 10,000 steps and you're only doing 2, you know, just start slow, like add 500 a day. Like that's for any goal, really. It's just, I think if you're worried about your ability to accomplish it, just start small and just build up in increments. And then it's crazy what you can build yourself up to. Yeah. So
it is crazy. Rebecca had built herself up through manageable increments to help herself reach her ultimate goal, beating Michelle, and she couldn't have done that without getting the steps in. Walking 1 million steps can seem like an impossible task, but as Rebecca has done, if you can break it up into more attainable sub-goals, like laps around her house, you can ultimately reach that once overwhelming primary goal.
And last but not least, interest is one of the strongest motives of goal pursuit. If you're highly interested, the more you'll invest in that goal.
And I'm trying to think what else. There was no spare time to hang out with my husband, which he really didn't like the step challenge and the last part of it because he was just like, this is getting ridiculous. Like, it's not even worth it. It's what you're going to win, $100. Like, the amount of time you're devoting to this is not proportional to the reward you're going to get. And I don't think he really saw it as something important, but I really saw it as something important because it was really just seeing if I could push myself to do this.
Rebecca found herself unable to quit the competition, despite how crazy the stakes were becoming. Not even the amount of money could sway her from continuing. It was the interest in the goal that kept her grounded, that reminded her how important this challenge was.
At the beginning of this episode, we mentioned personality. Rebecca is competitive, but she has other personality traits that helped her out in completing this challenge. Conscientiousness is one of the big five personality traits, along with openness, agreeableness, extroversion, and neuroticism.
People who are more conscientious tend to be goal-oriented and organized.
And it sounds like it takes a lot of like discipline and like persistence to keep going after something like that happens.
Yeah.
Do you think it's something part of like your character, personality?
I think it is part of my character, definitely. I feel very driven to finish things once I start them.
A spicy combination of conscientiousness, grit, and self-control lead to high intrinsic motivation and overall goal attainment. How do these traits work together to help us complete a goal?
Conscientiousness has some obvious relations to grit, the unnerving commitment and tenacity towards achieving our goals. Conscientious people are famously known for their grit, mainly for their perseverance and interest in a goal. Sound a little familiar? This relationship can be explained by self-concept clarity. If a person utilizes grit in their daily lives, they have a clear self-concept, and the vice versa is true. This means that conscientious people's goals tend to be more well-defined and in line with their interests.
I'm going to ask what your background is in fitness.
So when I was in middle and high school, I was super fit, like into fitness. Like I did soccer and a lot of different kinds of sports, basketball. I ran. I was really good about hitting the gym like 3 to 4, 5 times a week. And then when I got to college, I totally just fell off that wagon. And since college, I hadn't really been taking care of myself. And so I was like, you know, this will be a little bit of motivation. I love some competition. So I was like, oh, some competition that will help me, you know, reach some health, you know, getting off my butt and doing some exercise. So
there's that intrinsic motivation aspect again. Rebecca's decision to join the challenge was driven by her interests. She's more likely to remain committed to the goal because she already has the intrinsic interest to pursue it. We also mentioned enduring effort as the other dimension of grit. Here's what that looks like.
And then there was an incident at the beginning of February, so about halfway through the challenge, where I was at work and all of a sudden I kind of fell out. Like I wasn't doing anything physical at the time, but my heart rate dropped and I just kind of fainted and lost all color. And
oh, wow.
Yeah. So they ended up taking me to the hospital. I had to go to the ER and they tested me because they thought I might be having a heart attack.
Jesus.
And I had to stay overnight in the hospital and be observed because something in my blood work came back and said, yeah, something's happening. We don't know what. I had to stay. And you can see, but it's still sad because I still got a good amount of steps in.
Oh, goodness.
And then the next day they had to do a stress test where they put me on a treadmill and I got a lot of steps in that. And I was just like, you know, it just, and my husband's like, you have to quit now. And I'm like, I don't think, they said it's not related to the step challenge. They think something else is happening because I do have some other health issues that they thought it could be attributed to. But he was like, you have to quit, you have to do it. And everybody in the group was like, you went to the hospital, it's done, you're over. And I was like, no, I'm going to keep going. I have to, you know, I have to keep going. And so after they cleared me, like I made sure that it was okay with my doctor and the doctors at the hospital. And they said, we don't think it's related to what you're doing. But, you know, just if you start to feel that way again, just take it easy. You're going to have to step out. So, but kept going, which is insane now that we think. I mean, when you're in it, it's just, you're like, nah, that's fine. But now I'm like, that's crazy, like, that I was overnight in the hospital and I just kept going.
Okay, so crazy, right? How can someone have that much grit to power through a hospital visit and health problems to continue with this rigorous step challenge? It's in their blood. While self-concept clarity does not directly mediate conscientiousness with perseverance, there is some implication that being interested in a goal may promote effort to achieve that goal. In other words, Rebecca's inherent interest in the step-off challenge may have pushed her to keep going, despite the harrowing signs to quit.
Mental toughness can be thought of as a malleable part of our personality. We find ourselves persevering during the most challenging parts of our lives. Rebecca seems to have that mental toughness.
I never once thought I wanted to give up. Like, that thought, even when I was in the hospital, I was never like, well, this is it. You know, I was like, nope, I'm just going to have to figure out how many steps I'm going to take a day to catch up and make sure I hit that 35,000 step goal. So that was after I found out I was fine, I was like, going forward.
Right.
I was just never really felt like quitting. I was tired. I was exhausted.
Sure.
But I definitely, that didn't stop me from trying to reach to beat her.
Rebecca was committed to her goal, even when faced with this daunting obstacle. Our personalities can play a much bigger role in how we pursue our goals than we may realize. But, like we said, mental toughness is something that can be thought of as changeable. We can frame our obstacles and believe they are overcomable. Another factor in our ability to accomplish our goals is social support. It's much easier to reach a goal when you have people in your corner to cheer you on, like the adults in The Little Rascals.
Social support can play a huge role in whether or not we accomplish our goals. Family and friends act as a buffer for stressful events and may enhance our ability to seek change from the situation we're in.
Did you ever find yourself relying on outside support to walk towards your goal?
Yes, definitely. My husband, even though he did not like the challenge towards the end, he was very supportive. And if I was like, look, I got to get my steps in today, you're off, I need you to watch the two kids while I go do this, he'd be like, okay, I can watch them for this amount of time. And, you know, we would put on a show on the television that we both wanted to watch while I would do my circles around the living room. Aww. And that's kind of how we would spend time together. Even it was not ideal, but it was my little compromise. I'm like, I gotta get my steps in, but we could put on our show and I'll just, you know, I'll see it as I go through. I was like, just turn it up really loud, because whenever I go around the kitchen, I can't hear it as well, you know. So yeah.
Having someone support your goals can lighten the load you carry and allows for compromise when it comes to making changes in order to reach your overall goal. Rebecca's husband was supportive of her through the whole thing, even though he wasn't the biggest fan of the challenge itself.
I know you talked about sleeping 5 to 6 hours a day. Was there anything else that you had to sacrifice in order to get these steps in? Did you suffer any injuries? Did you have to add steps into, like, little crooks and nannies of the day?
So I basically, like I said, any waking moment I spent stepping. I'm fortunate in that I work a part-time job, so my work is in the morning, and it's pretty active because it's with children, so I'd get a good amount in during the day. But in the afternoon, I would come, put my son down for a nap, and my daughter would still be at school. Yeah. So during that time, I have kind of a circular area in my house, and I would just run it or walk it over and over again, listening to podcasts. And then sometimes when my children were awake and I hadn't gotten all the steps in and it was the weather was bad or anything, honestly, I was just like, here's some TV, mama's got to walk.
Rebecca and Michelle sacrificed a lot to reach their individual goals. Their competitiveness brought them to such an extreme that they decided to call a truce for the remaining days left in their challenge. Ultimately, Michelle won the step off by just a tiny margin, say 5,000 steps. Out of 1.2 million, that was barely any difference. How did Rebecca feel after coming in second? She had completed a seemingly impossible goal, but Was that enough for her competitive spirit?
I totally feel successful. I mean, I just looked at the total and I was like, I walked 105,000 steps in one day, which is insane.
Yes.
I think it translates to like 34 miles of walking in a day, or, you know, it was something like that. I can't remember what it translated, but it was a long distance and I was super proud of myself for doing it. And my sweet husband, like, I just fell asleep, like, on the bed, totally drenched in sweat at, like, 12:30 after realizing I was like, I didn't win. Aww. Just going to sleep. I'm so tired. And then I woke up and my husband had, like, made me, like, little fake medals. You're still number one or something. Like, it was really sweet, like, you know. And he said even though he was very frustrated with the whole process that we went through, like, he was really proud of me for doing it. And, you know, so, but I was so happy to have my life back again. You know, I think that next day I just was like, just gonna sit here and not move. I don't have to get up and do anything. So, yeah, I was definitely still super proud of myself, even though I did not win. But yeah, I felt really good about myself, and I think knowing that I could do something like that has pushed me to try things that are really out of my comfort zone, fitness wise. So,
some final tidbits for you guys. Finding the conscientiousness, grit, and perseverance in your personality can push you to tackling any goal, especially when the odds seem stacked against you. Try to use smaller sub-goals to take down any goals that may seem massive in the moment. Also, see if there's any competitions laying about that may need another competitor.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Gold Diggers. We would like to give a special shout out to the UGA Digital Media Wing in the MLC. Make sure to hit that subscribe button and follow us on Instagram at Gold Diggers Podcast. And that's Gold Diggers with a Z. Thanks, Season 1. All right, till next time.